The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Moshe Hillel Kaufman.
Baruch haba, we're doing Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Siman Kuf Pei Ches, Hilchos Pikadain. Sifrim Aleph through Hay. Sif Aleph. Hamafkin Mois Eitz L'Chaveiro. If someone deposits money by his friend, Ato now, Bizman Hazeh, in these times, Shekol Iskenu B'Masu Matan, that our business dealings are mostly in trading, Lakol Tzichim L'Mois, and everybody needs cash, Minastam, we could say the implicit understanding is, Nisratza Hamafkin Shanifkin Yitzim K'shitzdarech, that the Mafkid, the one who's depositing the money, is giving permission to the person who's going to hold on to the money to use that money for his own benefit whenever he sees fit. So therefore, the person receiving the deposit is allowed to spend that money. And it's for him, it's like a loan. Elim Kane, unless Gila Mafkid Daita Shain with Senamakah, unless the person who's giving the deposit made it clear that he doesn't want that to happen. Again, since not even though nothing was said and the person said, "Can you hold on to this money for me?" But it's understood, the implicit understanding is that if I'm holding on to your money, that means I'm allowed to use the money and I just have to give it back to you when you want it, meaning that it's a traditional loan. But if the person leaving the deposit said specifically that I don't want you to use this money, keep it on the side, it's keep it intact, don't use it. Or he did so implicitly. Kagain, for example, Shechosmam, he sealed the bag of money with a seal on it, so that means he wants you to watch this, meaning the bag, without opening up and using the money. Aikasha Mikesha Mashuna, or he tied the bag with a strange type of knot, also showing that he doesn't want it to be opened, he wants it to stay intact. So then, the person making the deposit is not allowed to use that money and spend it. He has to hold it, the physical money that was given to him. Sif Beis. Hamafkid Shar Chayfetz Eitz L'Chaveru. Someone leaves something, deposits something else by his friend, not money, but a physical item. Also LaNifkid L'Shtamish B'Chayfetz Zelet Sarchay. The person receiving the deposit is not allowed to use that item for his own needs. And even though the item will not be ruined if he uses it, he wants to take the shovel that was left by him for safekeeping and use it to dig a little bit, it's not going to affect the shovel. The shovel's going to be just fine. Nevertheless, he's borrowing without permission. And we know that someone who borrows without permission is considered a goslin. V'im yadua bebirur she'en hamafkin makbid alav. However, if the person receiving the deposit knows with certainty that the one giving the deposit to him is not makbid that he should use that item, mutter, then it's mutter. Like we learned in the past, that any time you want to take something from somebody's and consume it or not give it back, then even if you assume that the person would be happy and would give permission, that doesn't work. Because we say, yish lo midas lo have a yish. So if you're passing by your friend's desk and he has a box of cookies and he's not there, and he doesn't give people permission to use the cookies in general, but you know that if you would take a cookie, he wouldn't mind at all. So that's the lesser, because you're taking that cookie, you're not giving back that same cookie, and therefore he doesn't know that he's relinquishing ownership, and you're causing that relinquishment. Even though he'd be happy after the fact, still at the time of the relinquishment of the ownership, it was without permission, and that's not allowed. However, we said that if you're borrowing something and you're giving back the exact same item, so for example, you found on his desk, say, a paperweight, and you need to borrow it temporarily, and you're going to be returning that exact same paperweight, so then, we're not really relinquishing the ownership. We're just using the item, but we're giving it back to him. His ownership is always still on it. So therefore, if we can assume that the owner would be more than happy that you'd borrow that, so then that would be mutter. So that's the same principle we're saying over here, that the person gave you a pikadain, gave you a deposit, and now the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is saying that if you're sure that the owner wouldn't mind if you use that, So then it's mutter just like anything, even if it wasn't given to you as a deposit. However, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, v'yesh oisrin. Some people argue on this and say this is worse than a case where you're walking by someone's desk and you're borrowing something, even though you're going to give it back to him and you're sure he doesn't mind. Gam b'zeh. Mishum de pikadayin, because when it comes to pikadayin, afilu b'dava she'ein dech b'nei adam l'hakbid, even if it's something that people are not makbid on, usr, it's still usr to use. Mishum dehavi shaleach yad b'pikadayin, because you're considered the shaleach yad b'pikadayin, you're using the pikadayin for your own benefit. And gam b'hakai gavni, even in this type of situation where the guy wouldn't mind it anyway, v'yesh l'hachmir. Never says Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, one should be machmir, because even though normally someone's allowed to borrow something, if he knows for sure the person wouldn't mind, but when it's a pikadon, you have a din of a shomer, and a shomer is not allowed to be shaleach yad in the pikadon. He's not allowed to take the pikadon for his own use without permission. So therefore, even though a person who wasn't a shomer would be able to do this, but once you're given a pikadon, you have a din of a shomer, so then shlichus yad is also by shomer. Siv Gimel. Chayiv lishmo es a pikadon ba'ofen ayoyse toiv kafi adach lishmo chafetzim ka'elu. The shomer, the one who receives that pikadon, is chayiv to watch out and guard that pikadon in the best way, in the fashion that is normal for these type of items. V'afilim hu einu medakde kolkach b'shmias chafetzim shaloi. And even if perhaps the shomer in this case is not so careful when it comes to his own items, and he would let you know them have a degree of risk in how they're kept. Pikadon chayv l'taktik yoyse. When it comes to pikadon, and you're watching somebody else's item, you have to be more careful. You can't use your own standard. You have to use the general standard that's around. The Gemara brings down that by money, ein shmir ela b'karka, that the only way to guard that properly is if you dig a hole and you put it in the hole in your house somewhere. Obviously, that's not the derech to watch money. In general, someone gave you a large sum to watch, it would mean that you would put it in the bank. That's considered a shmira. Of course, if someone gives you a small amount of money, and you have a safe in your house, and that's the normal place that you keep your money, and that's something that an average person would keep that sum of money there, so you could put the pikadon item over there also. And even chalila, if it was stolen, if you were shay mechinam, you wouldn't be chayiv to pay for that, because you guarded it in a way that you would guard your own money, which is the way that, in a way that most people would do. It's not an abnormal way to keep the money. However, if let's say you're in an office setting and there are a lot of workers, including Nachrim, and you decide to keep the money in your desk drawer that's not locked, that everyone can go to, so that would be a pshia. That's something where other people can access. That's not the proper way to watch on to money in general. So that would be something where would be chayiv, even if you yourself perhaps might leave your money there sometimes. That's not a normal thing to do. That's something that is perhaps you're lax in, but you can't take that achrayis when it comes to somebody else's money that you're watching. Sif Dalad. Ein anifkad reshoi lahafkir as a pikadon miyad achayim. The person who's the shomer, the one who's receiving the pikadon, he is not allowed to now give that pikadon over to somebody else. Afilu kshem v'nemanim yoisim imenu. Even if you're giving it over to people who you feel are more honest and more reliable than yourself, if you were entrusted to watch this item by the person who deposited it, you can't make that decision to give it to somebody else. Ela im kein, unless hamafkid gam kein ragil lahafkid dvarim ka'elu etzlam. If the one who gave you the deposit, if he's normally also gives his deposits to Reuven and Shimon to watch, so then you can also pass on that item to Reuven or Shimon to watch, because then we know that the owner feels that these are people that he feels will be, can entrust the item with in safety. Just because you feel somebody is trustworthy and it's safe to leave an item by him, it doesn't necessarily mean that the owner feels the same way. So only if we know for sure that these other people are considered trustworthy by the owner, because he's demonstrated that he's trusted them, so then we can make that same assumption as well. But just because we think somebody is better than us, that doesn't mean we can give over somebody else's item to entrust them with it, because perhaps the owner does not feel the same way as to their trustworthiness. Sifhei, Kishabal lahachzias apikadon, when you're getting ready to return the deposited item, should not give it to one of the household members of the depositor without his permission. You can't just knock on the door and give it to the cleaning lady. Or if his brother-in-law is there, you can't just give it to his brother-in-law who happens to be answering the door. And the same as well when you're giving and returning, when you're returning back an item that you borrowed from him, you're going to pay your debt, you owe him money, now you're coming with the money to pay the loan. You can't just give it to whoever answers the door. You have to give it to the person himself, but you're also allowed to give it to his wife. Because normally, she's also involved in the money matters of the household. And everything that the owner has, he entrusts her with it, so therefore, you're allowed to return your borrowed item, or you're allowed to return the money that you borrowed to the wife of the owner who happens to be home at that time. I'll talk over a few recent cases that came by, which have to do with the Hilchos Pikadon. One person had a loan to pay off. It was around $1,000, and he went to the person's house, to the lender's house, to give him back the money. But the person wasn't home, so he had a mailbox out that's outside that anyone could open up. And he put it in that mailbox, figuring who's going to check the mailbox to look for stuff, and that's where the person's mail comes anyway, so he'll probably see it. In the end, the lender said, I never received the money, and I didn't see anything in my mailbox. And the borrower said, yeah, but I put it there. And the answer is, that's not a safe place to put money, and you can't assume that the owner is going to get it, that the lender is going to get it, just because you put it in the mailbox. It's something that anyone could reach in and take out. So therefore, that wasn't a good shmir for the money, and therefore the borrower is chayev to pay back another $1,000 in order to make the lender whole on the original loan. There was a situation where someone had a sefer Torah that needed a lot of work by a sefer to correct a lot of items, and he brought it to the sefer, had a store, and he brought it to the sefer's store and gave it to the sefer, and the sefer said, it's not going to be ready so fast, come back in a month. And when they came back to pick it up, the sefer couldn't find the sefer Torah. He didn't know where he put it. He doesn't remember where he put it. He knows he has it somewhere in the store. He can't find it. The answer is, when it comes to a shomer, if he says, I don't remember where I put it, I don't remember where he put the item, so then that's considered a pshia. And even if he'd be a shomer chinam, he'd be chayev to pay for the value of that lost item. Certainly over here, he's a shomer sachar because he was making money on the work which he was going to do on the Sefer Torah. But even a shomer chinam, if you gave somebody something to watch and he tells you, I don't remember where I put it, so in general, that would be a pshia, and the person with the shomer would be chayev even if he was a shomer chinam. There was another situation where somebody was going away for a few weeks to Eretz Yisrael, and he was in the middle of the winter time, and he didn't want the house to be unattended, just in case there was a problem. So he gave his neighbor the key. He told his neighbor, if you could do me a favor and please check in every once in a while, make sure everything's good, no pipes burst, everything's okay inside the house, just to make sure nothing goes wrong while I'm gone. Well, one day the neighbor goes to check, and there's an awful smell in the house, and he traces the smell down to the basement. And what happened was that the freezer that was in the basement stopped working for some reason, and so all the food in the freezer spoiled, and it was basically a bunch of raw chickens that were in the freezer, and it was causing the whole house to have a terrible odor. So as a good neighbor, he took out all the spoiled food and he bagged it and he put it out, and the garbage man took it. And this way, when his friend will come home, he won't have a terribly smelling house. He'll have it'll be regular. So then when the person came back from Eretz Yisrael and he checked in his house and he saw that his food in his freezer was missing, he immediately went over to the neighbor and said, what happened to my chickens in the freezer? And the neighbor explained the whole maisa and how he threw them out. And then the neighbor was very upset. As he said, these chickens weren't regular chickens. They were stuffed chickens. They were stuffed with hundreds of $100 bills, with a lot of $100 bills in each chicken. That's how he hid his money. He was afraid of ganavim. So he figured he took his cash that he had and he stuffed several thousand dollars in the various chickens, because what ganav would think to look inside a frozen chicken for some cash. So the neighbor said, you have no right to throw out those chickens without my permission. I want you to pay me, the thousands of dollars that I'm lost. No one told you to throw out the chicken. The answer is that the person with the chicken said, who was to ever think that there would be money in the chickens? A shomer, when he's makabel shmira, he's only chayev to watch things that he thinks he's supposed to be watching, and it should never dawn upon him that perhaps that there's money inside those chickens. So when the neighbor threw out the chickens, he was doing everything correctly, and it was not of any fault of his that the money was lost, because he was never warned about it. He should have never known about it, and so therefore the neighbor in that case would be pater. The halacha of being a shomer is, even if If someone did something which was considered wrong in how he watched the item, and in the end the item was stolen or destroyed, but not because of the original mistake that was made in how it was watched, but due to another mistake, so long as there's any way to connect the loss to the first mistake that was made, then the owner would still be chayev. So, for example, the case in Shulchan Aruch is if you have to watch money for somebody, and you put it in a place that would be guarded from being robbed, put in a place that a robber wouldn't be able to get to it. And however, the place where you put it was not guarded from fire, meaning if there'd be a fire, that would be something that where the money would get lost and destroyed. And when someone was watching money in those days, those were the two things to watch out for: being stolen, or that there shouldn't be a fire and the money will get burnt in the fire. And so when they put in a place that wasn't going to get stolen but still was subject to be caught, to catch on fire, and in the end indeed there was a fire, and therefore the money burnt, even though normally a person would be pater from fire if he was a shomer chinam. However, since he was a pesheya, I'm sorry, in the end it was stolen. In the end, the money was stolen. So even though a shomer mechinim would be pater from stolen money, if the money was stolen beyond his power, because here it was put in a way where it shouldn't have been stolen, and in the end, the reason why it was stolen had nothing to do with the fact that it was not in a place that was careful about fire, but perhaps we can say that had the item been put in a place that also was guarded from fire, then the ganav wouldn't have found it there. So since we could, even in an indirect way, we could remotely say that there was blame why he didn't put in a place guarded from fire, and it wouldn't have perhaps been stolen if it was in a place that was guarded from fire. So therefore, in that case, the shomer would be chayiv. In Hilchas Tzedakah, when someone's holding on to tzedakah money, he has a din of a shomer. And in the Paiskim, there's a differentiation made between a Ma'is Sheish Lai Taivin and Ma'is Shein Lai Taivin. If the tzedakah was already allocated to an identified group, and then that money was stolen, so now we know there are individuals who are actually identified as losing. But often the case is where the money is collected for tzedakah and someone's holding on to it, but the tzedakah hasn't decided exactly who to distribute the money to, and it could be distributed to any of a number of people. So in the Ikar Din, if it's money she'ein lo tovin, so then for the person is a pater from dinei shomer, that even though normally a shomer might be chayiv if there was pshia, however, if he didn't take care of it properly, when it comes to money that doesn't have any claimants, such as this money that's being held for tzedakah, So then our pidin, there's no claim. However, that's midine adam, midine shemayim. That Chavis Yoreh says is a shemay is chayev for pshia if he was mazik or pesheya with the money that belongs to tzedakah. However, the Tzedakah Mishpah and others point out that even though midine shemayim a person is chayev if he's mazik or pesheya with money of tzedakah, if it's a situation where he wasn't pesheya, it was just that the money was stolen or lost beyond his control, so then the person is potter. So sometimes a person's properly watching tzedakah money, etc., and if it gets lost or stolen, then oftentimes it's something where the guardian is potter. Kol tov.